This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Larry Fitzgerald banner. I don't think there is a Shady McCoy banner.
What other ones? Hugh
Tony
Green,
Dorsett
Dan Marino,
banner.
Tony Dorsett.
Yeah. Darrell Revis.
Darrell Revis.
McCoy
Shady
is a borderline Hall of Famer. Get on that, E.J. Borgetti. How about some love for Harrisburg's own, a Pennsylvania guy? We love Pennsylvania. Shady McCoy.
We love Pennsylvania.
And, well, I'm going to read something that he said here that's not going to really ingratiate him to fans here, but that's okay. Unless maybe they like the hard truth here, the honesty.
Oh, I think what he's about to say here, if he had said it 3 or 4 years ago, would have been far less agreeable and popular with people.
Shady McCoy, quote, today, as a reaction to what's going on here with Aaron Rodgers on FS1, this is the first time that the Steelers look like an incompetent franchise. You go out there, spend $125 million willy-nilly on a superstar wide receiver with no quarterback. What are we doing here? Said Shady. And this is when it really gets bad. This is the worst part. Is this the Steelers or is this the Jets? Is this the Browns? I'm disappointed with the Steelers franchise, what they're doing right now. I'm not mad. I'm not angry. I'm disappointed.
Like a dad who really wants to cut deep to the kid.
That this proud franchise has deluded itself. That it is stooped to low levels of spending money on a wide receiver like it's Madden. And not having a plan at quarterback. And the plan is hoping that Aaron Rodgers comes out of whatever spiritual journey he's on. And decides that this is the place where he wants to play football. Incompetent. They're not incompetent. That might be part of the problem. They're mediocre. And when you're mediocre and you don't have a quarterback, you get seduced by things. You trick yourself into thinking that, oh, this could work, or this will be right, or this will be the elixir, the magic bullet that we're looking for.
It's the Arrested Development meme, Donnie. You know what I'm talking about. Everyone tries this, and they always convince themselves that it'll work, and it never does, and they're always left mad in the end. But maybe this time, it will.
But the reason why I think that the Browns thing is such a hard sell for me, the Browns...
They've been too successful. They've won a playoff game more recently.
Oh, come on. But you don't actually think... The Browns are not a more successful franchise.
Obviously, they made a laughingstock move with Watson.
The Browns year to year, for the most part, are a bad team, and that gives them access to good quarterbacks in the draft, and they draft those guys, and they suck. Mm-hmm. They've done it how many times? How many first-round quarterbacks have they picked since they came back into the league in 99? There's Tim Couch, there's Brandon Whedon, there's Brady Quinn, there's Johnny Manziel. Who else am I leaving out?
Well, Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield, thank you. Number one overall pick, 5.
Picked, and then they jettisoned
kicked
him to the curb.
Yep. That's 5 since 99. So to me, that's more embarrassing. That's incompetence.
Would you say the Steelers are a competently run franchise right now?
I think, oh man. Okay, let me ask you this question.
If you're going to say they're not incompetent like the way the Browns are they competent or better than?
Do you view competent as a compliment?
I view it as the antonym of incompetent, which we know is a dig, so it has to be a small compliment.
But if I ask you about an employee, you're a boss or manager, and I say, what do you think of Donnie as a producer? And your response
is competent. No, it's not a compliment.
So I think they are a competent franchise.
But you don't mean it as a compliment.
But they're no more than that.
Well, they got held up, more to the point, they got held up. If you say a team is incompetently run now or they're an incompetent franchise, the implication there is that back in the day, in their glory days, they were a phenomenally well-run, I don't know if I could boil it down to one word, an exceptional franchise. How many exceptional franchises are there right now in the league in terms of how they're run? The Eagles are the easy one, the Chiefs, because they have done good things to build
around
the Mahomes.
The Bills win playoff games every year.
The Bills, I think, are pretty well-run, but their fans probably are getting fed up and frustrated with some of the you know, big losses. How many more would you say? Like,
I mean,
really
they won the
well,
AFC Championship
the
game
Lions,
last year.
I know, gagged in the playoffs, but the Lions feel like they're on the trajectory of being very well-run.
Sure.
I know this team hasn't won the whole thing, but I would say the Ravens are definitely more
they're
well-run.
They're up there, too.
Well, they found their quarterback, and they didn't need to go to the top of the draft to do it. They got the Chiefs.
The Rams are right back in the thick of things. Like, I think, ultimately, they're pretty well-run. But there are. My point is, there are maybe seven or so teams that are, like, really exceptionally well-run, led by the Eagles. Then I think there are a handful. The Jets and the Browns belong in this kind of area. The Jags, in kind of a weird way, sort of do too, even though they've won a playoff game. There are a handful of teams that are always a dumpster fire. I think the Cowboys are kind of a goofy situation year after year. Then there's a ton of teams in the middle. The Steelers have absolutely sunk into that in the middle range. They really have. They're just another team in the NFL as far as like yearly expectations, yearly performance, everything. Used to be when the Steelers would let somebody go, that guy was pretty much guaranteed to have had his best days be behind him. Now they get rid of guys like Kevin Dotson, and we see the guy making $20 million a year as a guard.
They're a team that annually has low expectations because of their quarterback issue, who exceeds their low expectations, which tricks most of the national media into thinking that Mike Tomlin's doing a good job. And then they play legitimate teams, and you get reminded of the divide or gap that exists between what they're trying to do and what the really good teams are doing. That's what they are. And I don't think that that's incompetent, but it's definitely not good. It's not a good situation. You can't make the argument that they're okay because they haven't had a losing season since 03 that currently they're a well-run team. They're a decent team.
But they fancy themselves a lot more than.
When 14 of the 32 teams make the playoffs and you're usually team 12, 13 or 14, you are, with the organization, bragged about a couple of months ago. You are outperforming the mean. That's not incompetent, but that's not meant to put them, like, that's not a flattering statement about the state of affairs here. Like, the other thing that Shady McCoy's comment reminded me of is, like, when you're in an argument with somebody and it gets down to semantics, like, you'll say to that person, man, that was a really dumb thing to say. And that person accuses you of calling them dumb. And it's like, no, you're not dumb, but this is really dumb.
Yes. Our old boss used to say, don't call people idiots. Say what you're saying is idiotic.
And yes, and that semantical thing I think is true of the Steelers right now. Like, I don't think that they're dumb, but I think what they're doing, pursuing Aaron Rodgers to the nth degree, to the ends of the earth, is dumb. I think the way they've butchered their quarterback.
It's desperate.
The way they've handled and tried to develop quarterbacks is dumb. Unfortunately, that's like the name of the game in the NFL. They appear to be really bad at the most important thing. Join us for Dine and Donate Week, supporting the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. Visit the following local restaurants. And a portion of the food sale is going to Feed the Need Radiothon. That is on Tuesday of next week. Today, Albero Verde in Greentree. Fabulous spot. They catered our 5-alarm fire marathon. Tremendous Italian fare. Tomorrow, Pittsburghers in Bethel Park. I've never been there, but I bet my wife has. She grew up in Bethel. All the details at 937thefan.com. Joe Block, a Bethel Park guy who says he gets a lot of his Pirates takes from his kid's bus driver, school bus driver. And he tests out calls and stuff on the bus driver. So there's a bus driver out there that has
big opinions that Block then adopts?
Yes. Block said when he like had these calls last year, Paul Skeens, what a man, he's yours. He was like channeling the bus driver's energy.
Really?
That's what I heard, yeah.
Pretty big.
And it was the year of Block. I mean, Block had some awesome calls last year, Don. He really got into it. The Blockster. All right. There it is.
The ball is tipped.
It's time for the PM Team Tournament Over-Under Game. If you get the question right, you will be headed to PNC Park for the home opener. Yanks and Buccos, April 4th, 4:12 first pitch at America's Most Beautiful Ballpark. We will be there on Federal Street broadcasting live before the game. Come see us because that means we would have hooked you up with tickets and that would be a polite, nice thing to do. All right, let's see who we have ready to go here today. We've got Tom to lead us off. Hello, Tom.
Hey, guys.
Tom, who's your favorite college basketball player of all time?
John Amici.
Where'd he go to school?
Penn State.
Good job. All right. Man, no love for the Crispin brothers there, Malzie.
Or Titus Ivory.
Yeah.
Calvin Booth. Amici, a British guy, by the way, making the NBA.
How about Mark Blount? Or is it Mark Blunt? Am I doing the Cook thing there?
Mark Blunt was
Mark
his
Blunt,
name.
Okay.
Well, that was a Pitt guy.
There wasn't a Blount that played at Penn State?
I don't think.
All right.
Corey was the other
Whatever.
Blunt I could think of.
I digress.
His brother Philly.
All right, Tom, here you go. Over under 13 and a half schools in this year's NCAA tournament who have won a national title.
Over.
Malzie?
13 and a half is the number. Louisville.
One.
Michigan.
Two.
Marquette.
Three.
Michigan State.
Four.
North Carolina.
Five.
Has New Mexico won one? No.
No.
Florida.
Six. UConn.
Seven.
Oklahoma. Memphis?
No.
No, thanks to Derrick Rose bricking free throws. Has Oklahoma with... No, they got beat.
Maryland.
Two.
Eight.
Maryland, eight.
Looking good so far
Kansas,
here.
Kansas, nine. The Johnnies ever win? Arkansas, 10. Corliss Williamson, 40 minutes of hell here. That's only half the bracket, practically.
Kentucky,
11.
Duke,
12.
Arizona, 13.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Michigan State?
We already said that. UCLA, 14.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing.
I thought he said under.
He said over. Didn't
nope.
he say over?
Said over.
Oh, he said
okay,
over.
Okay, here's the thing. Now, Malzie's big on technicalities.
Oh,
we know
we
that.
Go.
He cost a man a chance to see the games with his kid the other day.
Here we go.
Louisville's national title has been stripped by the NCAA.
No,
are we going to caught that?
No, you know how I feel. Didn't they win one in 86 with Denny Crum?
Who was the star player on that team?
Purvis Ellison, never nervous Purvis. So you can just put that in your pipe and smoke it, pal.
Tom?
Yes.
We'll see you on April 5th. You're headed opening day to watch some Pirates Yankees baseball. April 4th, yes. So you can come out April 5th, too, if you want. No one will be there because they're off that
day. I'm very excited. My son's here with me. He's very excited.
Tom, congratulations.
What's your son's
name?
Great
job.
Oh, no. I'm down in the valley. Don't lose me, guys.
All right, we'll play you on hold. You're okay. We got you.
The duality of Malzie. I giveth to Tom with a strong ruling on Louisville. I taketh away from Joe with an equally strong and both of them correct ruling. Did you think I'd forget about Louisville's other title?
Maybe. That's why I asked it that way. Wow. Well done.
Never nervous, Purvis.
Pirates also do play on the 5th.
Yeah,
way.
You're right.
Play both of those
There's
days.
No off day. There's no built-in
Friday,
rain
Saturday,
day.
Sunday series.
Was there any other
Remember
team?
When they used to do that? What happened to that? That was one of the... That was one of the cute things about baseball.
Did Houston win one during Fisa and Majama?
No, they lost.
I thought they made it like multiple times.
And lost.
Okay.
You're still hung up on your tournament things. I'm bringing up the fact that they used to do on opening day.
Well, you set these numbers day, right on the number, I think.
Opening so. Day, day off, just in case they'd have to, for rain, move.
Teams still do that. I guess just the way that the schedule shook out.
I always despised the off day right after a home opener. I hated
You'd
that.
You'd lose the momentum.
Yes, I was like, give me more baseball here. What am I doing now?
It just started and we're already stopping?
Yeah. Exactly.
Come on, baseball.
Pretty much.
Do
That's
better.
How I always felt about it.
Jared Jones with some elbow discomfort, and he will miss his next spring training start, and they are waiting on a second opinion.
How many...
The dreaded second opinion.
Well, they've also, I mean, the dreaded elbow discomfort. I guess the only thing that would be worse would be forearm tightness, which is always the precursor to Tommy John. But, like, when does elbow discomfort not mean bare minimum, like, 2 months on the DL? The IL, sorry. When has there ever been a pitcher experiencing elbow discomfort, and then a week later they go, you know what, he was fine. He just forgot that he banged it off his dresser that morning and didn't even notice the bruise. I mean, the thing with him is, guy that throws that hard, tries to throw off-speed stuff with that much break and movement at that size, it just does not seem sustainable.
That I agree with. I've long thought that.
I mean, there are not that many pitchers who throw that hard that regularly who are smaller guys, and he's what? 6 feet tall.
You know how we do this thing with Malkin where people just try to go back retroactively and say, I would have traded him in 2018 or I would have traded him in 2019.
Last
like they try
year
to
when Jones was available.
Yes. I think I'm going to feel that way about Jones. If they had traded him to the Orioles for one of their top hitting prospects or the Rockies for one of their young hitters, you know, they're just obviously always in need of pitching. These moves that would have taken from your surplus.
Given to somebody else and gotten something you needed.
Yep.
And with his overall like stuff profile, somebody
and
could
it
say,
just,
oh, that's a future number one.
And
maybe.
It also speaks to the perils of trying to build your team with pitching, which everyone says they want to do. And then the actual application and practice of it is much, much harder because of things like this now. Not only do you have to bank on the guy always being good and always navigating his way through a 162-game schedule, making 30-plus starts.
He has to be Justin Verlander levels of durable if it's going to work out.
Right. And this is, you know, it's stuff like this that made people say, wrongly I'll add, but at least I thought it was a solid argument, this is why you draft Cruz over Skeens. Because hitters are better, safer bets when it comes to the health standpoint of the sport.
Do you know what frustrates me about this injury? I feel bad for Jones because when he was on, he was a lot of fun.
And by the way,
we're
talking like he's going to need Tommy John surgery. It's not official, but this is usually like the precursor of the first bit of news you get before something horrible like that happens.
I said 2 minutes ago, hardly ever do you have elbow discomfort followed by, oh, we're just kidding. You know what?
Never mind, all good.
You know what this underscores for me and frustrates me more, just if it is a severe injury, and I hope it's not, but if it is, they clearly, as a franchise, assumed we've got Jones, we've got Skeens, then we've got Jones, we've got Keller, we have Chandler coming, and this offseason, we can just rely and sit back and rely on all those younger arms being the thing that carries us. We don't have to augment this team seriously. The window's open as long as they're all here, and now one guy might be gone for a while before the season has even started.
All Talks, Mike Florio, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Tom Pelissero, the first to report, NFL Network, that the Vikings do not want Aaron Rodgers. They shut down trade calls on J.J. McCarthy. Mike, does that make you feel like Aaron Rodgers will be a Steeler sooner rather than later?
No, because I don't know anything right now, mainly because Aaron Rodgers is taking his time. I still don't rule out Minnesota at some point. There was subsequent reporting as the Vikings engaged in a planned leaking of information. I don't think it took right away that the door was still open for Rodgers. The final analysis seems to be that the Vikings have gotten out the word that they're going to see what McCarthy can do in the offseason program, and they're not ruling out Rodgers at some point. Remember, when they added Brett Favre back in 2009, it wasn't until August 18th. They were into training camp by multiple weeks before Favre even showed up. So this is not changing. The only thing we know is that he won't be joining the Vikings in the short term. And I don't think that there's going to be a short-term answer. And as I say that, that probably means he's putting pen to paper on a deal with someone right now. But he's in no rush. He's in no hurry. He's taking his time. At some point, this thing's just going to fizzle out. And I wish that the Steelers, if they want this guy and he doesn't want to be there, I think Cam Hayward said it best, and I think all the fans feel the same way. Just hang up the phone and move on at some point. The Steelers have to do that, or it looks like they're being jerked around.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's become the prevailing sentiment. Maybe there was a bump in excitement today, Mike, here locally from people who just wanted a resolution when the Vikings news came out, but it certainly seems that Mike Tomlin is willing to wait as long as Aaron Rodgers is willing to make him wait, which, I don't know, does that surprise you that that is apparently their posture or Tomlin's posture, since all the reporting locally is that he is the main one who wants Aaron Rodgers in the fold?
If Tomlin realizes that he's their best option by far and they can move forward with Mason Rudolph, plus if they draft someone or eventually sign a guy who's available, the real question for me is, because this game of musical chairs is at a point where the music stopped and Aaron Rodgers is taking his time picking a chair and the rest of the seats are going to fill up after he makes his choice. Will these other teams say, forget it, we're moving on? Will the Steelers sign a Joe Flacco or a Jameis Winston? Will the Giants
sign Russell Wilson? You threw out Flacco and Winston. You've thrown out both, Mike, as plausible plan Bs.
Well, I don't know why they wouldn't be. I mean, the Giants are the ones that are bringing guys in. This is the limited constellation of players who are out there when you look at this next cut of quarterbacks, with Rodgers as the first one, and then once he would make a choice, the other ones fall into place. I think the Browns make a move regardless of what Rodgers does because he's not on the Rodgers list. But does that possibility of the Browns signing someone spur the Giants or the Steelers to act? And I think it'll be important to look at the contract if somebody does act, because will there be an opportunity to pull the rug out from under that guy if Rodgers would all of a sudden say, I'm interested? So if you see a one-year deal between the Steelers and Flacco, how much of it's actually guaranteed at signing? Could the Steelers say, sorry, Joe, we're going to take Aaron Rodgers now instead and cut Joe Flacco loose? It just creates a mess of a situation, and I think it does complicate the effort of any of these other teams, specifically the Steelers and Giants, to sign somebody else. You're going to have significant guaranteed money in there to convince the guy that he's not going to get nudged overboard if and when Rodgers shows up.
Mike, you have like such a bird's eye view of the league. You're covering every team equally in a sense. Can you explain
to me? Not equally.
Well, yeah, yes, of course. Cowboys, Steelers, yeah, I know. You're not maybe bending over backwards for Jacksonville Jaguars
stories.
I'm glad
you went with the ones that we cover extra instead of the ones that are justifiably ignored.
Right.
Go ahead.
How is it that a guy who I think at his best can be good, maybe very good for spurts, Rodgers, I mean, but is by no means anywhere near the player he was even 3 years ago, how do you think it is that he still commands such sway over this process? I know it's only with a few teams, but just the amount of attention and waiting and drama connected to where he wants to play or what he wants to do next year seems wildly out of whack with the actual player he is at this point in his career.
I think it's because he's still, at this point in his career, better than the other options that are out there. He's still got an effortless cannon of an arm. It's a flick of the wrist, and it whizzes by your head, and it makes a sound you've never heard before. That's what Aaron Rodgers is, and I think that's why, even though he's lost his mobility, at least the mobility he used to have, to the point where I think he should just stay in the pocket and not even try to move, because that's how you get yourself injured when you're in your 40s and you're getting hit by guys who are almost half your age. But he's still got the ability to spin it, as they say, like few others can. And that's why he's got the football world kind of under his thumb right now, even though the Vikings have tapped out on a qualified basis because they finally decided to see what their number 10 overall draft pick from last year and J.J. McCarthy can do before they take a shot at Aaron Rodgers, understanding that by the time they make up their mind, he might be gone. But this is perfect for him because I don't think he really likes the offseason program. If he's not signed, he can go to Egypt, he can go to Peru, he can go to Arrakis, he can go wherever he wants over the next few months.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, our guest, trying to get in the head of Aaron Rodgers, which is never fun. And so, obviously, the reporting you had last week, you know, something might be close, could be done by Tuesday, didn't happen. As that unraveled and that came undone, have you been able to uncover anything close to the reason why, Mike, Aaron Rodgers might have reservations about the Steelers? We know the Steelers want him. Why is there at least some reluctance on Rodgers' part to make a deal with the Steelers if it's widely believed that him and Mike Tomlin are basically lovers?
Here's what I believe happened as we look back on the last month. Going into the scouting combine, Aaron Rodgers was teetering on the brink of irrelevance. The Raiders didn't want him. He was at best the fallback option for the Rams if Matthew Stafford left. Then during combine week, I was told reliably that Rodgers, through his representation, had reached out to the Giants. And I think the big takeaway from that is, wow, he doesn't have anything going on if he wants to play for the Giants. Because he said he wants to play for a good team. And as I'm sure I've said to you guys at some point the past few weeks, no one would confuse the Giants right now objectively with a good team. So he goes from irrelevance to reaching out to the Giants. And all of a sudden, the Steelers lowball Justin Fields and he leaves. Oh, boom, the Steelers are interested. And then something gets Aaron Rodgers interested in the Vikings. And I think that was the wrench in all of this. I think the momentum was moving toward Rodgers and the Steelers, Rodgers and the Steelers, and all of a sudden, there went, you know, that it's that meme of the guy who's walking with his girlfriend and he turns back to the other woman. The Vikings became that woman that breezed by Rodgers and Tomlin, and he's turned and he's still watching, and now the question is, will he suspend anything and everything? Will his attitude be, if you really want me, you'll wait, or at a minimum, you'll save a spot for me by throwing Joe Flacco or Jameis Winston or whoever overboard if and when I call you up in July or August and say, let's do this.
Mike, doesn't it stand to reason then that he likes the Vikings a lot more than the Steelers? Because if he liked the Steelers, what you just described there, that scenario might never happen. So if the Vikings thing is, you know, a hope and a prayer that McCarthy looks bad, I mean, if he likes the Steelers, why even run that risk and keep your fingers crossed that the Vikings situation falls apart?
He also might, and this is odd to me, because I've yet to hear anything specific and tangible along these lines, but I know people who believe that there's cause for concern about McCarthy. So it may not just be a hope and a prayer. It might just be patience, knowing patience, sitting back and waiting for the Vikings to come to the conclusion that Rodgers believes they will come to. Because everything McCarthy does, I think, is going to be judged through the prism now of what would Rodgers be doing? How would he be looking? How would he be throwing it? And Kevin O'Connell's been around enough to know. He's been down on the field when Aaron Rodgers is throwing the ball, and he's heard the sound that only Aaron Rodgers can make. So I think that Rodgers is being deliberately patient because at the end of the day, he views a better chance to get to where he'd like to go with Minnesota than with Pittsburgh. I think that's the explanation. That's why he paused and turned when the Vikings all of a sudden became a viable option. And that happened once Daniel Jones opted to go to the Indianapolis Colts. So all of these things have happened fairly recently. And now I think Rodgers is going to just sit back and wait and see what happens. And he understands that he's assuming a risk that things don't happen in a way that caused him to go to Minnesota. And that if and when he wakes up and decides he wants to go to Pittsburgh, because the Minnesota option is sealed off, there's not going to be a spot there for him. I think he's just confident that one way or another, it's going to work out, and he's not going to sweat it for now. He's just going to live his life, and an answer will reveal itself at the proper time.
Mike, you know, I like to ask you when we've covered the big Rodgers news of the day or whatever the big Steelers news is, to ask you something that's way in the weeds. So explain this to me like I'm 5 years old or like I have the intelligence of a golden retriever. The Steelers resolution proposal for 2025 about a video call with unrestricted free agents and arranging travel after an agreement of terms and before the start of the new league year.
What?
This is the team's resolution proposal. This is like
resolution on what? What needs changed?
Way in the weeds. Can you explain to me like what the upshot of this would be or why the Steelers would want this to be changed to what they're proposing?
Because it sounds like the Steelers are one of the teams that don't tamper. and they're afraid they're going to get caught. You know, one of the takes I had last week, in the aftermath of the Seahawks signing Sam Darnold, I said there's no way in hell the Seahawks didn't have a deal in place with Sam Darnold before they agreed to trade Geno Smith.
Smart minds think exactly alike, because I said the same thing to Chris. Mike, yeah, I said, because people were positing afterwards, oh my God, they traded DK Metcalf. How is that going to affect Sam Darnold's negotiations with Seattle now that their top receiver's gone? And I'm like, I bet they already have a deal with him. Exactly.
The deal's already done. And the flip side is the Steelers agreed to trade for DK Metcalf without having a quarterback deal in place. And I think that anytime somebody suggests that the former rules be changed to allow things that people are already doing, they're the Pollyanna that isn't breaking the rules the way that others are. Because as it stands now, you can talk to players' agents, you can negotiate a deal all the way to conclusion, and it can basically be announced to the world. Those rules have very much softened in recent years, but you can't set up a visit until the clock strikes 4 o'clock Eastern on the first day of official free agency, the start of the new league year. And look at this year. Once it hit four, boom, Russell Wilson has a trip lined up to Cleveland, and bang, he's got a trip lined up to the Giants. The travel agents weren't working that fast. They already had it ready to go. They just couldn't say it until after four. So the Steelers are foolishly complying with the rules. This is their proposal to change the rules so they can do the things the other teams are already doing.
That's interesting. Mike, I'm happy Mulsey asked that very convoluted question. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk again next week.
See you guys.
That actually makes sense, though. Like, could they be pissed that
we're doing it the right way?
Well, think about specifically on Darnold.